Hello, my beautiful friends and listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Forest Fire Rising. We have made it to episode 8. I am so stoked that you guys have stuck with me this long, and I hope you guys are loving what you're hearing. I am just super excited for this whole experience. This podcast has been so life-changing for me, such a great outlet, and I hope you guys experience the same. Before we get into this week's episode, it is going to be another exciting guest episode. I'm sure you figured out from the title, but we will get to that in a little bit. I just wanted to tell you guys how grateful I am and just let you know what I have going on. So I have my hippie spiritual retreat in Bali on sale. Please check out my social media if you guys are interested in that. It is going to be a magical week of nature, culture, connection, healing, and growth. And I am totally looking forward to it, and it's just going to be so magical. What else? I will be putting some pretty new jewelry in my shop this week. Please stay tuned for that. And that is all I have today. The weather's warming up. I'm feeling good. I don't know about you guys, but the weather gets nicer, and it is just so, like, a weight lifted off my shoulders. Being able to go outside and start my garden plants. I'm so jealous of some people I see living in warmer climates that are already harvesting, and we can't even put stuff in the ground yet in Minnesota. So you guys are all living my dream, but I am feeling so good that I can start my plants, and I'm looking forward to planting my garden next month. And I just hope you guys are all feeling this same sense of growth and sense of relief that I'm feeling with the spring coming, and we're in eclipse season. That's so exciting. I hope some of you got out to watch the eclipse and experience that big part of nature. And I just, I'm so grateful for this world we live in, and a lot of cool growth happening, a lot of new beginnings, new opportunities, and I hope you guys are all feeling the same. And if you're not, I am sending you so much love and growth and good vibes that you will be able to just feel the love and healing from me. And I hope that spring brings you all just so much happiness and so much good things. Goodness is coming for all of us. I can just tell. This summer is going to be great, and this is me putting it out into the universe for all of us that summer 2024 is going to be amazing. But, all right, let's get into the episode. I am so excited. Let's get into it. All right, guys, so today we have another guest as part of a little guest series I've been doing, trying to incorporate more people from the community into the show. So today we have Alyssa and John from Bus Life Botanicals. They're from Oregon, and over there they live in their converted bus, all while running a business, connecting with nature and their roots, and sharing it all with you guys. And now we're going to talk about all of that here today.
Yay! Hello! I'm Alyssa.
And I'm John.
As Sean already said, and we're so excited to share with you guys some of the unique aspects of our lives.
Yes, you guys definitely share, or you live a unique life. So I guess we can just dive right into that. Of course, we're super interested in your bus and how you guys spend time in nature and just what led you to live the lifestyle you live.
Well, it's honestly something that we talk about a lot. Like, not the best string of scenarios led us to Bus Life. Like, honestly, a lot of financial struggle, and just feeling kind of unhappy living like the traditional way of life.
Yeah. Coming trying to find leases and.
Yeah, we were both fresh out of high school and just like trying to make it work, doing all the things, you know, like moving out of our hometown and working full-time, going to college. And then like literally COVID hit and John lost his job. So much was just like, the universe was telling us this is not working. Like, something needs to change. And then I don't even know. We were just thinking about like kind, yeah,
Alternative ways to
alternative
live.
living. And we saw that was when like the tiny house craze was kind of like a thing. So we like contemplated that, contemplated RVs, vans, but you know, we've got our animals and stuff, and so it just seemed like none of like tiny house now, because then we need a trailer and a truck, and maybe not a van or an RV because too tiny for our family. And then we just like literally came across a photo of a converted school bus, and we were like, yes.
It just felt right. The whole idea of being able to build your space to, I mean, really exactly how you want it and have that intimate relationship from building your whole space. I mean,
Yeah.
it's just way more fulfilling at the end of the day than I guess going and renting your apartment and, you know, doing up your four walls and all of that and coming home to that every day.
And breaking the bank to afford it.
Yes, at the same
Also.
time.
You guys built your ba or not van, your bus completely? Did you guys
Yeah,
do
we
all the
did.
conversion on
So
it?
we did. Like when we bought it, we drove it home and it had like all the seats in it and everything.
Oh,
Like
really?
it was
So
a
it was still
full-on.
100% a school bus?
Yes, it was without a doubt a school bus. And from the outside it still looks like that. We haven't painted it or anything, so it's still a bright yellow bus. But the inside, yeah, we completely tore out like everything. I mean, it was like a bare metal tin can, and then re-insulated, did all of the things. And I mean, we're still building as we go. I think like even 3 years later, it's like been our biggest project, our build on a budget. And it's just so fun, like John said, to have really like an intimate relationship with each part of it. Like before we insulated like the floor, we wrote little messages on it and stuff. So I don't know, it's really cool.
That's so fun that you guys like basically, yeah, you built your house in like
Literally, and I'm
this
like,
small,
I was
manageable
so,
scale. That's super cool.
yes,
Did you guys have
I
like building
was.
experience before at all? Or did have you really just learned a lot of this?
I grew up in a kind of with a little bit of building experience. My dad worked pretty much his whole life in construction, so kind of growing up, it came a little bit naturally for me. So with this bus build and taking all that preemptive knowledge, and then,
Like you had like the basic knowledge, right?
yeah.
Yeah, and then we were able to expand on that
Yeah,
because
teaching
it's a
ourselves
school
to.
bus, not like a house, you know?
Yeah, no, nothing
Right.
square inside of here.
And me, no, I like no experience. YouTube was like my best friend. And there's a couple creators like on Instagram that really inspired us the entire way through. And just looking at how other people did their builds and stuff like that, and you know, especially ones who weren't experienced, just like us, like ones who are just doing it as they go and figuring it out as they go. Because, no, we had like, I was like, what is this power tool? What am I supposed to do with it?
Right. It
And so
definitely
it's,
seems pretty intimidating if you like don't have the
yeah.
experience. I don't know anything about that. So it's super cool to watch you guys and other people just like transform this bus or other space like that.
It's definitely really rewarding, especially having no experiences and then looking back and being like, oh my God, I built that wall. You know,
Yeah.
it's rewarding.
Yeah, that's fun. So you guys have pets? Is like how many pets do you have in the bus? Is it
Yes.
crammed ever? Do you feel like space is an issue for you guys?
Honestly, no. When we first moved in, we just had our one dog, Lola. And two cats, a senior kitty, a 20-year-old kitty, and a kitten. So we were more concerned about the cats, especially our old girl. But it took the cats, like we moved them in before we even like moved in ourselves so that they could like get acquainted with the space, without the added pressure of like other humans and dogs. So the cats moved in first, and by the time we moved in, like 2 weeks later, they were largely adapted. And Lola was like 4 when we moved in, so she also was just used to living her life in apartments. And we both worked full time, so we didn't really get to spend any time with her. She was just kind of alone and in her apartment all the time. And moving into the bus, we're close, we're together, and she loves that. She's such a little Velcro doggy, so she, it worked out well for her. And then we got Chief, our second puppy, like a year and a half into bus life. And since he was raised in it, like, I mean, it's just, he literally has only been in a house like twice. So he knows nothing different.
Right. Well, that seems like it's super fun to be close and connected like that in that space. Definitely.
Yeah, it is. I mean, sometimes it can be overwhelming. We spend a lot of our time like, whoop, whoop, squeezing past
Excuse
each other.
Me. Pardon me.
But everyone just kind of develops a routine and has their little places that they go to. We've made sure to include comfortable spaces for everyone that we live with.
Right. Okay, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, but just really quick, do you have any tips for somebody that wants to start a bus or a van life or anything like that? Like, where does somebody even start?
Yeah, open mind for sure. I feel like we have so many tips that we could impart, but the biggest one is just to keep your mind open. Don't talk yourself out of it. It's intimidating, right? And it's scary. And it's like, wait, maybe how could I do this? Can I really live in like a 40-foot vehicle or a 20-foot vehicle or whatever? It's daunting and it's scary. And I think that I didn't realize it's not just like moving into a bus or moving into a vehicle. It's like so much changes with that. Like our whole mindset has changed and in regards to so much, it's really changed the trajectory of our life, and things aren't always going to go as planned. And it's just, yeah, important to keep an open mind. I guess basic tips I could give is do your research. Like pick a couple creators or YouTubers who you like, and let them give you wisdom and inspiration. And the community, also the nomad community, the bus life community, has been really accepting and really loving. We found a great community within it, and they've helped us out a lot too.
I bet there's just a lot of like being able to surrender to like things you can't control and things that you just have to accept, you know?
100%.
Like a big lesson in that, that like a lot of people probably could use. I bet it just forces you to just accept things.
I mean, I definitely could have used a lesson, and let me just tell you, when we bought the bus, we bought it in Southern California, and we're on the Central Oregon coast. So we had like one weekend to drive 18 hours down to get the bus and 18 hours back with the bus. We were on our way back, driven nonstop for like 12 hours, and we broke down on the Oregon border. Oh my God, thinking about it. So we broke down on the Oregon border, middle of COVID, when we got the bus. So nothing was open. We had my mom, my little sister, my mother's German Shepherd, and us two. And that was just, yeah, the biggest like slap in the face, because I'm like, yeah, we got the bus. It's going to be such a smooth, great, awesome time. And then literally the day after we got it, we broke down. We broke an airline. So like we had no brakes. Thank God we were able to like be okay and stop. Like the fail safe worked. But no, and then we had to, like, before we could even get our bus onto our driveway, we had to spend thousands of dollars on maintenance to get it fixed. And then, of course, the passes were snowed in, so we had to wait for the snow to melt. And I mean, it was just like the universe being like, oh, you think this is what you want? You think you can handle this?
Let's give you a taste.
Like, let me show you the biggest thing that could ever go wrong. And, you know, we handled it. And I think that showed me like, oh, wow, I am capable. I'm capable of doing this.
And here we are 3 years later.
I definitely relate to that, and the drive that's like, no matter what happens, this is gonna work. It has to work. Like, there's just,
right, when you it decide, has to work.
You're gonna do something or like take a path like that or take a big risk. I definitely relate to just the I'm gonna make this work. And just being able to navigate big challenges like that, that's crazy that that happened the day after. Definitely.
No, it was so crazy. And I like to make sure that the universe
being like, is this really what you want? Please think about it.
Yes, and I like to tell everyone that too, because that was like, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows and butterflies. Like, it's gonna go wrong.
Let's see. All right, what do you guys do for work in your bus and in your nature-centered, earth-connected lifestyles?
Yes, okay, well, when we moved into the bus, that's when I started Bus Life Botanicals. My little small business where I offer wire wrapped crystals and herbal goodies and just like whatever feeds my soul. I just put my heart and soul and passion into this and share with you guys. And that's really been fun to explore, and it's definitely brought me closer to my values, which is an unexpected consequence. And Johnny is a part-time maintenance man right now. He's drinking water, so I'll let him.
Oh, yes. I work part-time maintenance at a hotel here in Florence, and it's helped me progress my building skills that I've acquired throughout life. I've been able to learn, I mean, really a lot throughout there: plumbing, electric, framing. I mean, the list just continues to go on and on and on. And here, hopefully soon, I hope to start up my own little handyman business and kind of separate from the hotel and get our own little thing going for our family.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then the big fun thing is that every fall we mushroom pick for a living, and we mushroom pick matsutake mushrooms commercially. And I mean, gosh, where do we even start? Well, both of us
come up with some pretty decent hauls of those I've seen. Like, you'll
get, I know,
quite a bit.
Well, we're so blessed. We're in like one of the few spots in the world where you can even find matsutakes, and they're one of the most expensive mushrooms. They largely get exported to Japan.
Yep.
So they're like, back up a little bit quick and just explain the mushroom hunting, like what exactly you're doing and
100%. Basically, what a typical morning looks like for us during mushroom season is we'll get up before sunrise. Pack our food, pack our coffee, pack our tea, and literally go spend our day in the wilderness. We've got a couple patches that we frequent. So we get to switch it up, which is fun, but we will literally hike like 8 to 10 miles in a day with like 50 pounds of mushrooms. and then I would say at like 5 o'clock is usually when the buyer opens. So we'll take our haul, bring it home, clean all the mushrooms, and then drive down to the buyer. So we sell our mushrooms to the buyer, who sells those mushrooms to his buyer, right?
Yeah, to like the big corporate.
Yeah, sometimes there's even more, I'm sure, the chain of supply. But it starts with us. Like, it's pretty cool that we will pick a mushroom out of the ground one morning, and then by the next morning it will be like on display at a farmer's market.
Yeah, that is super cool. I don't know,
right?
Just getting to forage for mushrooms for one of your jobs, just that's so fun, and it's just so so on brand too.
Well, both of us didn't even, I mean, Johnny kind of grew up doing it, right?
Yeah, my father, he started picking matsutakes, I want to say around 30 to 35 years ago. So ever since I was, as long as I could remember, I've been out in the woods pulling mushrooms out of the ground with my dad. So it's something that stuck with me for my whole life. And where's that?
Well, and I also grew up picking mushrooms, but of a different kind. And so I had no clue that this was an option. Like, when I met John and he was like, yeah, I pick mushrooms for a living every fall, I'm like, what are you talking about? Can I do that too? And it's a really fun way to spend quality time together. I mean, we don't really have service when we go into the woods, and
Yeah.
And it's like a giant treasure hunt. We get to just spend time with each other in nature and find mushrooms, like, and get paid for it, which I
And I
think
mean,
is the coolest thing.
and not every day. I mean, we make it sound like so easy and fun and bubbly, but here on the Oregon
I
coast,
mean,
it's
it's
also
hard.
like, I think the days do get really hard. I mean, it's raining sideways. It's only
It's cold.
30 something degrees and you're soaking wet all day carrying these mushrooms and you just want to be home.
Yes.
But I mean, once both of you kind of go through that together and you do it again and again, it just, you kind of build this stronger bond with not only each other, but also Mother Nature as well, just going
Yeah.
through that with her every day.
Yeah. You learn to read the seasons more. And I mean, it's definitely brought us immensely closer to nature, and also has, we've gained a deeper respect, I think, that, I mean, we truly do live with the seasons in the sense that, like, if it's not raining, then the mushrooms aren't popping, and then we don't have money. So,
right. So, is that something that, like, just anybody can do? Because you're the only people I've ever heard, like, actually talk about doing that. And I have never heard about it around me. I'm sure there's some sort of, like, morale
yeah.
thing around me where I'm really excited. We're almost gonna get morels to forage here soon.
Yay! Oh my gosh, morels are actually, I've never found a morel in my life.
They're, like, I think, the tastiest mushrooms. But I wonder, like, if around here there would be, like, a spot to forage morels for money.
Anytime
yeah.
there's a good
wildfire. I have never found more than I would want to keep. Like, I've only found, like, just enough to make, like, a meal with.
Yeah.
That's the only mushroom I've ever foraged. But so, like, anybody could just do what you guys are doing out where you are? Or is it like.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. You have to be, I mean, you have to be 18 to do it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You have
you
to be
got to go
18.
The legal route.
And there's definitely, like, a process. You can't just, like, go out and pick a bunch of mushrooms and then go,
like,
sell them. There's definitely
a
a process. Yeah,
a
correct. It's usually through the whatever forest that you're in, whatever forest you hope to pick in. I'm a Siyuz Law Native American, and it's pretty freaking cool that I get to pick mushrooms on the Siyuz Law National Forest, like where my ancestors did. But yeah, you got to go the legal route. Definitely, I wherever you are, I would just look up mushroom picking opportunities. I mean, especially because
general
wild and foraged foods are becoming a lot more popular. And just figuring out where your mushroom seasons are, what mushrooms are popular nearest you, and doing your research. I know that mycological clubs can often have some good resources. But, you know, for Matsutakis, we are, like I mentioned, one of the few places in the world where you can find these coastal Matsutakis. So I'm not familiar, unfortunately, with anything outside of the Matsutake, like, chanterelle area,
yeah.
because that's just what we've always picked. But I'm sure that there's more opportunities than one would imagine. I just don't think it's talked about or, you know, publicized
right.
as
like
much.
Like I said, you're the only people I know that do that, or know of, even.
How cool.
Okay, let's see, into our next subject. You talked about how you get to pick in the same forest as your ancestors, and I just am super interested, and I love how you advocate for your indigenous roots and how you advocate for that sort of stuff, and how you've recently been learning to connect more with that part of your culture. So I would just love to just hear about that. I think it's super interesting. I think it's super important for us to connect with our ancestors and our roots. I think it can be so deeply healing and spiritual, and it's just important, I think, to be educated. But so many people just don't know.
No, I agree. Healing is definitely healing is the perfect word to describe it. Like, you know, I grew up, I'm born and raised here on the Oregon coast in a predominantly, you know, for lack of better words, I would say white, conservative town. And there's not a lot of diversity here. And I'm trying to choose my words carefully, but I don't think that growing up I felt comfortable enough to pursue my Native heritage. I think that because I am white passing, I think that it's easy for me to neglect that part of myself, especially when no one ever talked to me about it. No one ever portrayed it in a good light. So I did not feel comfortable to proclaim that part of myself, even though I'm a Siuslaw native living on the Siuslaw River, going to the Siuslaw schools. So it was a really interesting dynamic. And I have pioneer blood in me and I have native blood in me. And so I think it's kind of a dichotomy that I had to work through. I would say when I moved out of my hometown, when I was by myself, I think when I had the space and the drive to know more, to want to know more. And man, it's been just such an incredible journey. I've never felt more connected, I think, to myself. I think that knowing who you are is one of the most important things, and embracing that.
I agree. I also relate. I have Native American ancestors, but I don't know much at all. And I wish that I had more resources to know. But yeah, my family definitely never spoke that much about it. I mean, I knew it was a thing, and I would love to figure out how to know more and how to dive deeper into that.
Yeah, same situation for me. Like I knew the basics, but I'm like, okay, I want to know more. Like I'm trying to connect to my heritage and my culture. How can I do this? And when I was attending college, there were a lot of resources there available to me, due to the fact that it was a college that lied on my native land. Mm-hmm. So luckily that was just serendipitous. And you know, it was kind of a process finding the right people. I think that, you know, I think that our history isn't as documented as it should be. I think that tribal restoration is actively ongoing, and connecting to your culture is not an easy thing to do as a Native American. But I used my college, I used the resources there. I was able to get connected through my tribal website, and just re-engaging with reading the tribal newsletters and signing up for language courses. And hey, are there any openings on culture committee that I can be a part of? When's the annual salmon bake? Like just reaching out and reconnecting with people who share my blood. And that in itself just kind of opened up a lot of doors for me.
Yeah, I bet that was a whole experience of connection and community.
Yeah, and something that I had never experienced before, honestly. And finding that tribal community, I mean, it's refreshing knowing where you come from, knowing that you're surrounded. No, just knowing where you come from, I think, is like, it just brings a feeling of like, of peace, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is there any significant cultural things or, things that you've added to your life or started doing that you didn't do before?
100%. I've realized a lot the difference between, colonialist mindset and indigenous mindset when I started digging back into my roots and reading books and learning history. I think I realized that maybe I need to be living with and incorporating more indigenous knowledge into my everyday life. And I think when I really started to embrace my heritage, I think that naturally led to me, you know, making moccasins and beading moccasins for my baby. And signing up for regalia classes and making drums, and I'm actually growing sacred tobacco, traditional sacred tobacco, in my garden right now. I practice acts of reciprocity when I visit nature. I have a medicine bag. So just, I think just little things that I've adopted that actually add up to be big things, that have led to just a huge, like, kind of shift towards just incorporating Indigenous knowledge into my everyday life.
Definitely. I think this is super inspiring. I'm definitely inspired to try to learn more, research more, and I hope that other people can be inspired as well, because it definitely is so important and it can be so useful to know where you come from and to have that knowledge. And I just think it's super cool that you are continuing to expand on your knowledge of who you are.
And oh, thank you. I'm so glad that I can be an inspiration. I definitely...
I'm super excited about your tobacco and all of that. That's so cool.
Right? I know. It's definitely finding ways to connect with my ancestors, and that's been one of the biggest ones. We haven't been able to grow this tobacco. It actually went extinct in our homeland, like, 200 years ago. So this really? Is the first time. Yeah, this is the first time that, like, it's been brought back and tribal members are able to grow what our ancestors grew, which is super cool.
That's so special. Okay. I want to talk a little bit more about your business, just give you a little more chance to talk about that and let other people know what you're doing.
Oh, great.
I just want to discuss just our herbalism journeys and
yeah.
Why it's just passionate about this sort of alternative healing and medicine.
For sure.
As well as any crystal art or jewelry making stuff you want to talk about as well.
Wonderful.
You started the business at the same time you started living in your bus. So
yeah, I think, let's see, we moved into the bus in 2021 and I started Bus Life Botanicals at the beginning of 2022. And I totally wasn't planning on doing it. Like, I've always been such a potion girly. Like, I love playing with herbs and plants and foraging. I mean, that's just, I've been that way since birth. And also I love pretty rocks. So who doesn't love pretty rocks? And my family and my friends were really encouraging and they were like, hey, you make cool things. You should share that with the world. And I was like, okay, I'll take a chance. And it did really good. People were really receptive. Again, like, the community I've found has been like 90% of the reason that I've been successful. I think between the Bus Life community and the crystal community and the herbal community, I'm like, this is where I want to be.
What are some of your favorite creations to make?
Oh my gosh. Well, I love to wire wrap little mushrooms right now. I'm having fun with wire wrapping mushrooms. I've also been obsessed with shampoo bars lately. I've been making
I really want to try your shampoo bars. I actually was in the shower earlier and I was looking and our shampoo bar is almost gone.
Oh girl, I got you.
Having more of those.
Yeah, they smell super yummy. They're delicious. I think that also, like, Bus Life has inspired me in my herbal creations a lot, because, you know, we spend a lot of our time outside and I'm like, well, I want something that I can wash my body or my dogs or my dishes with, like, in a river, something that is biodegradable and, like, yummy and okay. And so just, you know, that in general, living Bus Life in general has made me be more conscious about what I'm consuming and what I'm, like, putting out there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes tons of sense. I'm sure you have to be super, super mindful of your consumption in a bus.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But yeah, my favorite things to make right now, definitely shampoo bars, wire wrapped mushrooms, and then I'm having a lot of fun with, like, anything calendula, like calendula salves, calendula lip balm. I just love it right now.
I'm growing that for the first time this year. I'm really excited.
Oh, they're
I'm
beautiful
excited.
blooms too.
I like calendula as well. But yeah, herbs are just so yummy, so good. I think it's so important for people to be made aware of just like the magic that's within them, you know, like
A
there's just
100%.
so many,
I'm
like
a
you said,
huge.
like the heal, like the calendula salve, like I don't know, like tattoo balm, like that can be made, like just little things like that.
Right? No, I'm a huge advocate for the
Or like
magical
your
powers of
shampoo
herbs.
bars, like there's just so many things that we can make and use that are from the earth and just not full of poison and are good for the us and the earth and our families, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And like, especially as you know, I'm about to become a mom, and that also is leading me to be more conscious of the things that I put on and in my body. And I feel blessed to have access to not only the indigenous knowledge of the plants that are local to me, but just the knowledge that I've built up over the years. It's wonderful what we have at our fingertips. Plants are amazing.
I definitely agree. Well, that is all I have on our list today. Is there anything else that you wanted to add or let anybody know?
Oh man, I don't think so. I
Buy
mean,
that bus.
this, what'd you say, John?
Buy that bus.
John says, buy that bus.
Okay, you guys, you heard it. If you're thinking about it, just buy that bus.
Just buy that bus.
All right. Well, I'm super grateful for you guys for coming on, and I'm super grateful for all my listeners for tuning in with us today. I hope you guys were able to glean some valuable information about simplifying your lifestyle, diving into your roots, and everything else sacred that Alyssa and John had to share. I hope you guys all have a wonderful day and a wonderful week, and I will talk to you all next time. I love you guys so much. Goodbye.
Thanks for
Okay.
having us.